The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Thursday evening's action in Tipperary. We're back over obstacles in Ireland on Thursday evening. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm all right, actually. Yeah, I'm good, Mark. Yeah, thank you.
Good.
You?
Yeah, not too bad,
Never
thank you.
I ask you how you are, but so yeah, turn the tables.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yana, you're normally quite inconsiderate.
I know I'm terrible, yeah.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm quite looking forward to today's action. We've obviously got the Dante meeting at York in the afternoon, and then we've got some pretty good evening action as well. A bit of jumps and flat racing to look forward to this evening. So, good stuff, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Tipperary's not the strongest of cards. I'd probably have maybe just two bets there that I would consider worth playing myself, and the rest, yeah, I'll just fill in the blanks.
Okay. There's a bit of a tricky end to the card in Tipperary as well. Last two races are point-to-point bumpers, flat races. So because Andy doesn't have a particularly strong view in those, it's pointless in putting up a selection for the sake of doing so. So we're not going to do those two. We're going to get his thoughts on the other six races, starting in the first race, which is the 4.55. And we start with a two-mile maiden hurdle. And it's priced up in the betting, Andy, as if it's a bit of a match between Cillian's Return and Patsio. They're 11-10 and 15-8, respectively. 9-1 for Madoon, and 14-1 or bigger prices the rest. Do you see it as a match between the top two in the betting?
Yeah, I do, yeah. It's pretty much how I'd play the race. I'd have to make Cillian's Return favourite. You'd be foolish not to, really, judged on what he's already achieved. Of course, this is his first run for New Connections, Tony Martin, so you have to take that on board. But, you know, providing he hasn't gone backwards, hardly, you can't expect that to be happening, can you, from a top trainer such as Tony Martin. He looked the part when he won last time when he was in the care of Will Farrell. That was at Fairy House, and he beat a very good horse of Dermot Wells called Vigil, who went to Leopardstown next time out on Hennessy Day and absolutely bolted up. The third has also won Drunken Council. It looked a good race. It's worked out to be a very good race. And prior to that, he chased home Black Hercules as well, who of course ran well in the Cheltenham Festival bumper. So it's no great surprise that JP McManus has looked to acquire this horse. He looks above average for this time of year. And apart from Patsio, who won in reasonable fashion last time out at Limerick, he hasn't got much in the way of opposition to beat. I'm actually surprised that he's odds against this morning. He's 11-10 with William Hill. That might turn out to be the best 11-10 you'll ever get, because obviously jumping the brush hurdles as well, his hurdling technique comes under less scrutiny. So we know he can gallop. We know he's pretty much the best horse in the race. So barring accidents, famous last words, he should make a winning hurdling debut.
Okay, Cillian's Return looks a good 11-10 shot then in the 4.55. The 5.30 is the second race, and this is Division 1 of this handicap hurdle for horses rated 80 to 102, and it's over 2.5 miles. And this is, well, this is wide open, isn't it, Andy? Monty Wildhorn, Royal Shot, and Please This Punch, the 7-1 co-favourites of 3. 9-1 for Four Wives. Fair Funny is 10s with Bye Bye Oh Bye. 12-1 for Wells China and Alder Imley, and then 14-1 or bigger prices the rest. Is there a bit of a sticker pin in this jobby, Andy, or do you have an opinion here?
No, I don't. Whereas the first race looks fairly straightforward to analyse, this one is totally the opposite. It's probably about as difficult as tying your shoelaces with a pair of boxing gloves on, this race. It's going to be 6-7-1 the field. The obvious starting point is Please This Punch. She's been running fairly consistently well throughout the winter. Her only bad run came on horrible ground down at Fairy House, but prior to that she'd run well at Tremor behind the inform at the time, Federici, and then ran okay the other day behind Roman Numeral, another horse who'd won its previous start. Just got left behind as the tempo increased, turning round a home bend, but kept on reasonably well. You'd just say, you know, a fair enough each way chance. I'd also give Fair Funny a bit of a squeak as well at a price. I think this horse has been crying out for a faster surface that she's been encountering in the last two or three starts. She's been given a little bit of a break after that run down in Limerick. But, yeah, she's got some decent hurdling form next to her name earlier on in the campaign, as I said, when the ground was a bit quicker. And Shane Shortall's been booked to ride her, so do keep it on the market for Edward Halsey's six-year-old there, Fair Funny. And the other one to mention as well is Wells China, who ran quite well after a bit of a comeback on her first run from a comeback the other day down at Fairy House in that race that was won by Cordelia Bell. That was quite a competitive race of its nature. And I thought he actually did quite well, considering he was never really put in the race, but suggested he could be one to watch throughout the summer jumping campaign. But yeah, an absolutely massive, almost like a masochistic race. It's that difficult. The price, probably Fair Funny would be the one I'd go with.
Okay, Fair Funny then. In the 5:30, moving on to the 6:05 next, and this is Division 2 of this handicap hurdle for four-year-olds and overrated 80-102. It's over that 2.5 mile trip, and Marsham heads the betting this morning at 7-2. It's 7-1 for Foolish Notions, 11-1 for Snapchat and Redwood Boy and My Kind of Town. Bonifacio is 12-1 with Hard Bought, and then it's 14-1 or bigger prices the rest. So Marsham heads the betting, and he likes it over this course and distance, seems to like it at Tipperary, and showed last time that despite being 12 years of old, he still retains his ability with a win over this course and distance. Is the concern for him, A, the ageing legs, and B, that he's on a mark that he's never won off before?
Yeah, that's a consideration. Of course, I napped this horse last time out when he won. No, actually, I didn't nap him, did I? He was my next best in the card. I should have napped him and didn't. But yeah, he's a really good horse around Tipperary. He's one of the only few horses in this lineup that's got solid handicap form around this track. We know he likes this time of year. Ground, he's pretty impervious to him, really. He's won on fast, he's won on soft, so somewhere right in the middle today, yielding in places will be absolutely ideal. He travels well, he can show a nice turn of foot at the end of his races, as he proved last time out. He beat a horse called Knockin' Aragon, who went to Punchestown the other day in a chase and won quite well, landing a bit of a punt. I know the Desi Hughes team think that horse is particularly well handicapped, and there were 15 lengths clear, no less, of the rest. Obviously this one's a slightly more tricky because there's more runners, and I'll use this statement lightly, but there's one or two more perhaps unexposed types in this race here, like Redwood Boy and Snapchat and Mayador from, you know, yards at now the time of day. So, you know, he was 10-1 last time out, now he's 4-1. I still wouldn't put you off. I don't think he's a solid each way recommendation if you can get sort of around about that 4-1 mark, because I think he's likely to run his race, whereas many is in this race aren't. The other one to mention here is Sabrina Hart's 10-year-old, Bonifacio. Now, most of his best form is going right-handed, so I'm fully aware of that, but at least we are getting sort of 16-1, 14-1 for this horse this morning. He comes out of that race, which is already beginning to work out quite nicely. It was a race that was won by McNicholson at the Punchestown Festival. Back in second was Pivot Bridge, who won at Killarney the other night. Unfortunately, we didn't see the race because there was no pictures. But I've no doubt that form will start to pan out throughout the summer jumping campaign. And Bonifacio was stuck out on the wing all the way through that race, saw no cover, and therefore did quite well to finish where he did. Speed figure-wise, he actually comes out quite well on the numbers. So does Marsim. So I'm going to play both of those two against the field. I think Marsim's very, very solid, as I've suggested. But also, yeah, just keep an eye on. Maybe have a few quid on Bonifacio. I think he could surprise a few.
Okay, couple against the field there then. On to the 6:35 next, race 4 on the card. And this is a beginner's chase over 2.5 miles. And Clonbannon Lad is the 6-4 market leader. 5-2 for Follow Me up to Carlo. Cardin is 6-1. 7s for Call Rog. And then 12-1 or bigger prices the rest. So Clonbannon Lad heads the betting, Andy. He's got some pretty solid form in the book. And Henry de Bromhead won this race last year as well with Sizing Rio. Do you fancy him to back up with the favourite here, or do you take him on?
It's very rare, Mark, you get 232 rated horses running round Tipperary in a beginner's chase at this time of year, but that's what we're faced with. It's a difficult choice for me, this, because I'm fully aware that Clonbannon Lad's probably got the best form in the race on paper. That third in the Florida Pearl Grade 2 Novices Chase at Punchestown behind Morning Assembly and Don Cossack does stand out, really, and it's not for the first time that he's chased home some decent horses over fences. He's had a bit of a break since December. He took part, of course, in the Paddy Power Chase, where he ran respectively. And as you said, with the stable having won this race last year, it looks the ideal one for most punters to get stuck into. But he is up against a horse I've got a bit of a soft spot for, and that's Follow Me up to Carlo. And I'm going to select Tom Foley's 11-year-old and put him up as a nap today. He's a 5-2 shot, and I do think that represents decent value here, because he ran in, what I got on the figures, the best chase at the Punchestown Festival. Of all the circuit times I collated throughout that week, including obviously size in Europe and all the big handicaps and all the big grade one events, this handicap won by operating was the fastest time on the card. They absolutely flew around that last circuit, and the overall was very good as well. And follow me up to Carlo, considering he was detached and held up throughout the back, which he always is, did incredibly well to finish fourth. He actually looked like he was going to finish third. He jumped the last clear third, but he faded on the run-in because he had to put in such a huge effort down the back straight to get involved. Obviously, it's such a strong pace. So you've got to give him a massive amount of credit. My slight negative with him is that all his best forms going right-handed. He does love Punchestown, Fairy House. Those are the two tracks where he does shine. So he's got to prove himself going left-handed. He hasn't enough chance, if you like. There's a limited sample size of him going left-handed to be dogmatic whether an anti-clockwise direction is a negative. But provided he handles the track, I certainly think he's got the legs of beating Clonbannon Lad. Like I said, the two of them are closely matched, but at 5-2, he definitely represents the best value bet on the card.
Okay, and did you say he was your nap, Andy, following
he it? He is, yeah, he's a nap tonight, but yeah.
Okay, nap selection then for Andy in the 6.35. The 7.10 is race 5 on the card, and this is a handicap chase over 2.5 miles, and it's for 5-year-olds and over that are at 0-116. This morning, the betting looks like this. Race Hell is 11-4, 5-1 for Solstice Night. Fitzgut and Tight is 5-1, 11-2 for World Or. Fourth Class, 7-1 with Prince Rudy. 10-1 for Barstool Bob, and 14s or bigger prices, the other three runners. This is a race full of horses that don't seem to like to win, Andy. What's your thoughts on the 7.10?
Yeah, that's a fair shout. I certainly wouldn't be as keen on the favourite as the market suggests here. Raise Hell, he hasn't had a run for quite a while. In fact, go back to November to see his last run. I think he's been waiting for good ground. I think William Mullins has finally worked out that his horse wants decent ground because he's biased presenting, and his overall profile suggests that. But you are taking a punt that he's fit enough to do himself justice. I quite like a couple here. The main one would be Solstice Night, a horse I tipped at the Fairy House Easter meeting. I was amazed this horse finished out the frame. It was absolutely gut-wrenching to see him finish in fifth. And other than a bad mistake at the third last, which the race analysis hadn't picked up on, I think he would have gone very close that day. It kind of like knocked him back. It was a bit of a juddering mistake at that point when they were quickening up. It was won by a horse called Usual Surfer, who I tipped the other night down in Killarney, and how that finished third in that handicap, God only knows, because he jumped terrible down the back straight and still managed to get himself in the frame. We've seen Barresi win. He finished sixth in that race. So it's beginning to work out quite well, and I think Solstice Knife would have probably finished second or third that day had he not made that juddering blunder. Prior to that, he'd been running consistently well, including at Wexford on ground similar to this when he was behind Fortesia. And largely speaking, this horse is fairly consistent, so I do think Solstice Knight will go well again. And the other one to mention is Prince Rudy as well. He ran really well in a race which I got a bit of time for at Fairy House last time out. That was over hurdles behind Cora's Oscar. Sammy Black, who was second that day, he should have won the other night to Killarney. He ran a bad mistake at the last and presented it on a plate to the favourite. Otherwise, he would have boosted that form as well. And Prince Rudy, even though he's 12, he still retains plenty of his ability. He ran behind Solstice Knight early on in the season, a competitive handicap chase at Fairy House. He doesn't mind either way, left-handed, right-handed, or what the ground's like. So I do think Prince Rudy at 7-1 is also worth a bet, along with Solstice Knight.
Okay, Prince Rudy and Solstice Knight in the 7.10. The final race we're going to look at is the 7.45, race 6 on the card. And this is a novice hunter's chase over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. And a bit of a shorty at the top of the betting in the shape of James, who's 6-5 at the time of recording. And with form in the book behind Tammy's Hill and Warren, Andy, is he the one to beat here?
Yeah, he is, yeah. I'll select him, although he's one of those kind of horses that at a short price you always just slightly wary of, but because I don't know enough about the others, I'm going to have to go with him. At the same time, I wouldn't surprise me with one of these point-to-pointers that show a bit of ability. Might be good enough for him, but we'll go with James anyway. He's a strong traveller. He jumps well. He's got a nice way of going about him, but just getting the job done is proving his Achilles heel of late. Now, whether it's been the ground or the trip, you'd have to sort of offer up one or two, you know, plausible excuses along the way to kind of, you know, get involved at a short price here, because he should have won two starts ago at Down Royal. How that Matilda and Matilda Supreme got back up again is a mystery. He looked as though he got the race won that day, cantered to the front, and he just got worried out of it on the running. And last time at Fairy House, he did pretty much the same after he travelled quite well. So just, you can say, a slight air of caution is attached to him, but he certainly looks the best horse in this race of what I know. So I'm going to have to go for James, despite his short price.
OK, James, then. In race six, let's just have a summary of your selections, and Andy, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through them one more time.
Yeah, not a bad card tonight, Tipperary, but at the same time, not many, you know, wildly good bets. Hopefully Sicilian's Return should win the first. I think odds against is a fair price for that horse in what looks a maiden worth winning. I'll go with Fair Funny each way in the 5.30 now the ground's drying out. Marsham looks a solid selection in the 6.05, but also Bonifacio is probably worth a look at a much bigger price. My nap of the night on the card is in the 6.35, follow me up to Carlo, who comes over red hot handicap down at Punchestown. In the 7.10, two against the Phil Solstice Knight and Prince Rudy. And in the final race I'm covering, the Hunter Chase, I'll go with James.
OK, good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck with your selections. Enjoy it in Tipperary this evening, and we'll look forward to hearing you on Racing Radio for the next couple of days.
Yeah, look forward to it. Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.